I almost spit water all over the fucking place. I almost choked, man. I was trying not to spit the water.
Let's leave that. Let's leave that in the outtake. We'll leave that in the show here. And if you're just listening, here's the intro.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Two men.
Make that 3 men.
No marketable skills. Always just one step away. One step away. From the unemployment line.
Strip Club Radio with Tim Rhodes, Anthony Binger Vallejo, and Dane Hansen starts now.
Showtime.
We're already starting out like that already. It's me and Dane. Binger is getting ready for the Super Bowl in New Orleans, so he's not joining us today. How you doing? Welcome to Strip Club Radio.
What's up, Tim? How are you today?
Good. We were talking about having Cody Hansen on from Hinder, and we started talking about. I said, Dane, are you related to Hansen? He goes, no, and I'm not related to Hansen Brothers either, motherfucker. Bye. Those little kids got pussy from that song. That's what's kind of fun. If you're in a band, you just get it. I'm telling you, it's like quarterback of a football team or play drums. You're going to get laid. I've been telling my kid since he was 8, son, pick up a guitar. Because you don't have the brains, really, to go far with college and stuff. So be...
Vote of confidence, Dad.
I know. I'm there to pick up my kid. Just get a guitar and play. You too could become Hanson and support your old man because he has no skills at 48. How you doing, Dane?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little disturbed after that, but I'm okay.
Let's bring on our guest. Maybe he can bail us out a little bit. Cody Hansen from the band Hinder joins us right now. One of the few rock bands that still has that energy that's missing on rock radio these days. They have toured with Motley Crue, Theory of a Dead Man, Nickelback. Their new CD, Welcome to the Freak Show, is on iTunes. And Cody, the drummer and founder, joins us on the phone right now. Cody, how are you, bro?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. First of all, are you okay? Because I know you had a tonsillectomy a couple weeks ago. What the hell happened?
Yeah, man. I'm getting there now. Yeah, I had I had my septum fixed, and then I had to drill out a bunch of other stuff and took my tonsils and the whole deal, man. I tell you what, that's a pretty shitty surgery. But it's getting better now, so I'm good.
Well, good to hear. So tell us how it all began, man, if you want to go back to being in a local band in Oklahoma and playing at your local bars and all that shit. How did it happen?
Yeah, man. I guess I could just tell you how we kind of got together. At first, Blower and I, our guitar player, we went to college together and just kind of became drinking buddies. And we decided to throw a big party at some random chick's house that we met, and her parents were out of town, so we threw this big party, and we hired a couple cover bands to come in and play, and Austin was the singer in one of those bands, and so we just kind of, you know, met that night and just kind of kept bumping into each other at parties and, you know, had one of those drunken we should jam moments, you know, eventually. And you know, so we got together and did it, and yeah, before too long, man, you know, we were playing. Well, first started as a 3-piece, and you know, the three of us were playing around town and you know, doing the thing, building the fan base, and eventually decided to step it up a notch, and ended up finding a producer in Canada, and you know, went up there in the early days, and from there got a record deal, and that's pretty much it. I mean, just kind of, that's the super short version, I guess, but.
So did you guys finance, when you go to get a record deal or go into a studio, did you guys have to finance all that stuff? How does it go from going into the studio to cutting an album to finding somebody that says, you know what, we're going to sign you?
Well, how it worked is we were just going to do like an independent album and, you know, push it ourselves. Me and my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, but, you know, we kind of started our own little record label. It was just the two of us. And, you know, we were going to do, you know, our own radio campaign and, you know, do the whole deal. So, you know, we knew we had to, you know, get some real music. So, yeah, I mean, we took out a loan from, you know, friends and family and whoever we could find to give us money. You know, we did it the right way. You know, we signed a contract saying that if we didn't pay it back within, you know, 2 years or whatever, that we'd quit the band and go find jobs and pay them back in a certain amount of time. Like, we had it all worked out. So luckily it worked, man. Otherwise we'd be screwed.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, because you hear about all those horror stories about these rock bands that are just fucking broke, even though they've sold millions of records. But what happens there?
Man, I don't know, to be honest. You know, it could be a lot of things. It can be, you know, poor management, poor financial management. I mean, it can be, you know, I don't know, it could be a number of things, I guess. You know, just because, you know, bands appear to be big and you hear them on the radio, it doesn't mean they make money. You know what I mean? You know, people still gotta buy those albums and come to shows and buy the merch and, you know, the whole thing. And you know, nowadays it's tough, man. People aren't doing that kind of stuff as much. So for bands nowadays, man, it's really tough out there.
Yeah, and I want to get to that in a second. Dane, feel free to jump in anytime. I was going to ask, so you do the record, you get the record deal. Where were you when you heard your first song on the radio, man? Were you driving down the road or some shit? What happened?
I think I was giving our bass player a mohawk in Shreveport, I think. first time we heard it on the radio, man, we all about shit our pants, and I think I might have messed up his haircut a little bit. But, yeah, it was a good day. It was in the middle of the day. We were going to play a show that night, and I don't know how great that show was, because I think we decided to kind of just stop and have a celebration drink, so I'm pretty sure we were pretty fucked up that night.
Well, you know, we're strip club DJs, so when Lips of an Angel came out and every fucking girl came up wanted to hear that song, you know, so we blamed you for a long time. We hated Hinder because I'm like, I'm tired of playing that fucking song, that Lips of an
Angel. Yeah, you and the rest of the world hated us for a while, man. We were like the Justin Bieber of rock and roll, you know, we weren't cool. It wasn't cool to like Hinder.
Still not cool to like Justin Bieber.
Well, Dane was telling me he was listening to the new album, Welcome to the Freak Show, and so he goes to me, he goes, are they just writing these fucking songs to get laid, some of the slow stuff?
I go, why else would we write?
I was very curious about that.
So,
I mean, I think we learned this lesson a long time ago, and it was like our number one rule when we first started is, I mean, you got to keep your female fans happy, you know, because if you get the female fans, then you get the male fans automatically. We kind of live by that, and it's worked out. And I think, you know, we were talking about the state of rock and roll a little bit earlier. I think that's where rock radio is kind of making a big mistake now. They've kind of shunned their female fans a little bit. They're, you know, playing nothing but the heavy metal shit that only dudes want to hear, and the chicks aren't listening. So when the chicks aren't listening, the majority of dudes aren't listening either.
Man, you know what? You fucking nailed that, because I was talking to Dane about... look, between Dane and I, we've been in the strip club industry 40 years, and we've seen how less and less girls want to hear rock and roll, except for guys like you and Nickelback and Theory of a Dead Man and Cabo and some of those other bands. And you're right. I think it's got so hard that the girls just don't give a shit anymore about it.
It's hard to find anything that you can play in the club. I mean, you listen, go through all the rock charts right now, and there's you know, maybe two or three songs that you can play, and then you really wonder if you really want to play them. I mean, there's not much to choose from right now, from what our format is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, music, you know, music was fun back in the day. It just sounds so angry, and it's so noisy, and there's not really a groove, you know, especially for chicks, man. Chicks want to dance. That's what they love to do, you know, for the most part. And, you know, it's really tough to get up there and dance with a double, you know, through a double bass pedal, just, you know, going crazy. You know, it's tough to do. So, I mean, nobody
especially
really
that if you're trying to act sexy when you're doing it, that's almost impossible, for, you know, or give a dance for a guy in the corner and you're going at 160 beats a minute. It's a little tough.
Yeah, you look like you're having a seizure. That's not sexy.
So what was the first big, huge venue that you guys played where you thought, all right, man, I think we fucking made it here? Where were you? Who were you with?
You know, I don't even remember where we were, but I remember we were on the Nickelback tour. And, I mean, this was really early for us, you know, and I remember, you know, when we were going on first, we were the first of four. So when we went on, the arena wasn't completely full, but, you know, I remember, you know, looking up at one point, and I guess the crowd showed up when I wasn't paying attention, because I looked up during Lips of an Angel, and it was completely full, and it was just solid lighters up in the air, and every person out there was singing along, and I about pissed my pants a little bit, and to be honest, it was, I don't know, it was a pretty insane moment for me.
I saw you guys on one of those Nickelback tours out here in Las Vegas with all four bands. I'm not sure. I think it was Shinedown maybe and somebody else with you guys. But I saw you. It's got to have been 7 years ago when you guys were out here. And I thought you were great. I played quite a bit of your music, actually, in the club over the years. I've been out here for 10 years now, and I've been playing it probably ever since then. Get Stoned is probably my anthem, though.
Right on. Yeah, mine too.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know, every interview I've seen with Cody has been the same thing. He's like, look, man, we're a rock band. We like to drink. We like to go out. We like to have a good time. I like that you have that party rock and roll vibe thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just who we are as people, you know. That's how we met. That's how everything started. And, you know, life's about a good time, you know. It's not supposed to be all, you know, dark and depressing all the time, man. There's nothing wrong with having fun.
Well, so talk about that. What's been the most fun you've had on the road, and what's it like when you're traveling around with Nickelback? What's a day-to-day like for Hinder and Cody and Nickelback and going from city to city?
Well, I mean, it used to be a lot different than it is now, man, to be honest. You know, when we first started, you know, we were all 19, 20, you know what I mean? So, you know, we'd wake up at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and go into a radio station to do a morning show, you know, with a bottle of hot tequila and some styrofoam cups. And, you know, just start it off that way and keep drinking all day and go up and play a terrible show at night and keep drinking and, you know, have a great time. Somewhere along the way, we were headlining shows and we kind of had to rein ourselves in a little bit and, you know, keep our drinking to at least, you know, late afternoon and evening time start. So but you know, for the most part, you know, we have a good time as much as we can. I mean,
now were you guys all single when you started to become big, or did some of you guys were married at the time, or what was all the status?
We all had, you know, girlfriends and stuff and, you know, whatever, but yeah, we weren't married.
So not going to get any really good stories.
Well, how many girlfriends did you dump when you got big?
We're not going to talk about it.
Did any
Some of those songs had to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah, they definitely did. You know, maybe sometime when we're not doing an interview, we'll have some drinks and shoot the shit, and I can tell you some real stuff.
Well, yeah, how many girlfriends made the cut from when you were doing local bars to when you signed a big deal to playing arenas?
Any upgrades after that?
No. Well, actually, no, man. I'm still with the same one. Blower's still with the same girl.
Wow.
Austin's is different, you know, of course.
They must be very tolerant women.
Yeah, dude, there were some definite growing pains and through the whole process, but yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, how many fights started with, I saw you looking at her in the front row, and she came backstage, and you were like, no, baby, no, I swear, didn't do anything. You threw...
Well, we've never taken them on the road, so luckily, none of that shit. And ours are pretty cool. Like, they let us do that shit, but how it really starts is, you know what I read on Facebook? Facebook is definitely the enemy for us.
You know what? It's nice to know that even big bands have to deal with the Facebook bullshit.
Fuck, everybody does, man. Everybody.
Facebook, yeah, you guys got to wonder about what she's doing when you're on the road too, though.
Yeah.
I don't think he's worried about that
here, because I'm not glued to Facebook as much. So
there's no truth to the story about you sending out VIP passes to the girls in the crowd to come back to for the after party and all that?
Oh, there's definite truth to that. Yeah. Well, I mean, no matter what, man, who wants to sit on a bus with a bunch of dudes? That shit ain't fun, you know? And like I said, our chicks have always been really cool and really understanding. And you know, they know that, you know, we're in a rock band. You know, we're going to party, and we're not just going to sit around and party with each other. You know, we have to... you have to meet new people and, you know, have a good time. Otherwise, we'll go insane, man, sitting on a 45-foot tube. That's pretty much what a bus is.
Also, I'm sorry, Dane. Go ahead, man.
How do you guys keep, from killing each other? I mean, do you have any issues over that? I mean,
no, man.
When you're on the road?
We actually get along really, really well, man. We're all really happy drunks, and, you know, we're all like the same person. You know, we just, like I said, we like to have a good time, so we're always, you know, constantly joking around and, you know, just cutting up and having a good time. And you know, on our days off, we're always at a bar. You know, we wake up, go straight to the bar, start drinking, and, you know, we're always having a good time.
God damn, yeah,
we get along great, dude.
I want to live that life so bad.
That common denominator keeps the peace, apparently.
Well, so, yeah, hold on. Let's go back. Cody, who's in charge of going out into the crowd and picking out some favorites? Your roadies or something? How does that work?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, we usually have a guy that's kind of like, kind of works as like our assistant, I guess. You know, he handles our press and our scheduling and all that kind of stuff. So that's usually who goes out and scouts for us, I guess.
God damn, it's true, Dane. They scout. They'll take my girlfriend. I go to a Hinder show with a hot girl, and all of a sudden she's gone because or somebody fucking gave her a VIP pass, and now I'm alone and she's partying with Hinder.
It's part of that upgrade program.
That's definitely happened a time or two, man. I can't tell you how many angry husbands we've had banging on our bus.
Really? Like what? Guys pissed off?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I don't even know if I should tell the story, but once, you know, our bass player had this chick in the back of the bus, and then we end up leaving, and we got after bus call or whatever, and we pull up to this truck stop or whatever to fuel up before we take off out of town, and this like highway patrolman or something walks up and he starts talking to us outside, and we're just all kind of bullshitting. He's like, "Yeah, I think my wife so and so was just at the show."
Oh shit!
And you could see Mike's face just turn completely white. He didn't realize that was actually that dude's wife. He had no idea.
And was she still on the bus?
And no, she left like 5 minutes before that because we took off from the venue.
Oh shit!
So he was freaking out, man. He didn't know what to do. some cop's wife. He had no idea she was married. It was pretty funny.
God. So now with all the bands that you play with. I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, but is there anybody that has been less than nice to you guys when you went out on the road?
No, man, not really. Not really at all, man. We get along with everybody. I mean, we're super laid back and easygoing, and, you know, we get along with pretty much everybody. So, yeah, no, not that I can think of.
So one like Tom Lee.
I know
Lee.
You wanted some dirt. That's not the answer you wanted. I know.
No, it's good. No, I like to hear that because I don't want to hear that Vince Neil. Yeah, Vince Neil was a dick to us when we went out on the road with Motley Crue.
Yeah, no, everybody's always been cool to us, man. Yeah, no complaints.
That's cool. So when you got your first big paycheck, does it come in a check? What did you go buy? What was the first big purchase that you made when you finally said, fuck, I got some money now?
Probably my house, man, to be honest. You know, we were so busy at the beginning, you know, we didn't really get a chance to spend a bunch of money. So, like, when we finally got a chance to take a break, you know, after the second record, you know, we all came home and, you know, I built a house, bought a car, you know, the whole deal. So that was, you know, everything was all at once.
What was the car, Honda?
No, I actually just bought, like, a really, you know, nice Chevy Tahoe, you know, try to be smart about it, so.
So let's get back
That's
to
nice, though.
Yeah, I love the Tahoe. So let's get back to the state of rock and roll. Where do you think it other than rock stations not targeting women anymore, what can we do to bring back rock, really? Because it feels like I was in radio for almost 10 years, and rock stations are dying at a rapid rate every single year.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know what can be done. I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, man. I don't know. It's almost like it's going to have to completely die and rebuild, you know, but, you know, a lot of those people that are in charge right now are going to have to probably go away. You know, I think it's going to have to, people are going to have to realize what they're doing wrong before they can fix it. You know what I mean? And I think there's just a lot of those guys that are in charge, you know, of radio that have too much pride to actually realize what they're doing wrong. So,
Yeah, the people in charge of radio are fucking dumbasses. I'll go ahead and say it right now, because they just want to play what's tried and true and what's been out and what tests well and the auditorium testing, and they won't give some of these new bands a chance even anymore.
Yeah, man, it's brutal. You know, it's funny, and you go in and you talk to them now, and they act like they're the rock stars, you know what I mean? It's like everybody owes them something. And, you know, they make the call, and they decide what goes in, and, you know, fuck everybody else. I mean, it's weird how things have changed over the years, dude. It's I don't know.
Does that change the way you write your music? I mean, because of that, trying to get it on the air, does it change it at all, your style or anything?
You know, being a rock band, you kind of do have to think about that kind of stuff when you're writing a record. You know, you have to have some rock songs if you want any support at all. So you do have to kind of, you know, write your stuff a little bit for radio. I mean, and you're starting to see a lot of bands kind of freak out about that a little bit. You know, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to like what's going on with 30 Days Grace. And, you know, I haven't even talked to those guys really since the whole thing went down, but
we'll reset real quick. What happened with 3 Days Grace?
Well, you know, Adam, the singer, left the band.
Okay.
And it sounds to me like, you know, how a lot of bands feel. You know, it's like, it doesn't feel real anymore because you're having to please, you know, rock radio. You know,
having to sell out
the songs you want to write, you really want
to
write. You can't make them as real as you'd like to. I mean, we still try, you know, as hard as we can to write real songs, come from the heart and still, you know, do our thing. But at the same time, you do kind of have to think about, you know, how are we going to get our stuff out to the people? And the only way to do it right now, I mean, the fastest way is radio. So, yeah, it's tough, dude.
Well, how has, because digital sales so much have changed, and since you, even Lips of an Angel came out, how has that affected you guys?
Well, now, I mean, everybody's going, instead of, you know, most of how it used to be, whenever, you know, somebody liked the band, they'd go out and they'd buy the album, you know, and they would become a bigger fan of the band. Now, when somebody hears a song, they go and they buy that song. So now they're becoming, you know, fans of a song. They're not really fans of a band. You know, and that makes a big difference, man. You know, like, I remember going out and, you know, hearing one song on the radio and going buying the record and getting into every single song, which, you know, then I couldn't wait till that band would come in concert so I could go and listen to every song that I liked. You know, now people just, they don't do that. They get into one song and then they kind of forget about it and that's it. So you got all these other songs that are just sitting there being wasted. And, you know, less people are coming to shows. People aren't buying merch. It's like, it's a whole trickle down effect, man.
Mel, so who did you listen to when you were growing up?
I'm kind of all over the place, man. Yeah. You know, I started, you know, when I got into rock, I started listening to Bad Company, Buddy Holly, and, you know, Pantera, Metallica. You know, then I was into country music, then I was into, I don't know, man, like gangster rap for a while. I was kind of all over the place, to be honest. I'm just a fan of music, really, more than anything.
Now, were you a drummer in high school and the drum corps and shit? How did you start playing drums?
Yeah, I was, actually. Yeah, started, you know, doing the drum line thing and, you know, then doing the jazz band thing. And I was also in sports, though, so luckily I didn't, you know, have to wear all the goofy uniforms and all that stuff. Plus, I was, like, the drum line leader, so I got to tell our teacher to piss off. I went to a small school, so we didn't have to do all that goofy shit like most people. But, yeah, that's pretty much how I got into it.
Nice. So what is the hierarchy of the band? Who gets laid the most? We've had discussions about this. Dane and I have talked like an hour on who gets the most pussy. Does it start with the lead singer and then lead guitar player and then bass player, keyboard player, drummer? Or is it, in your case, drummer, lead singer, guitar player? Keyboard players never get any ass, do they?
Dude, you know what, man? Everything is really... Now you're killing me here. Actually, now you're going to make me say shit that I shouldn't say. But now, dude, everything was really like an even playing field, I guess, when we were rocking. So
no wonder you guys all get along.
Yeah, man, I don't know, man. It's like our bus is like one of those deals where it's like if it happens there, it stays there. So it was just a really wild time for a very long time. I'll just say that.
So we'll talk about the new tour, because I know you guys are coming to Atlanta on March 17th, and when I yell at you, Cody, you're going to know who I am. So where are you guys headed? What's going on?
It's going to be cool because, you know, we get a chance to play a lot of the new material that we haven't played yet. So, you know, for us, the new record is still, I mean, it's brand new. You know, we haven't played that many shows since we put the record out. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of, mixture of a lot of the stuff, you know, that's been on the radio, a lot of the hits on the old records, and then, a lot of the stuff on the new record. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Cody, we appreciate you coming on, man. I'm excited about getting to talk with you, and because I've been a Hinder fan for a long time, especially working in strip clubs. Like I said, we play about four or five of your tracks at least. No more Lips of an Angel, though.
I understand completely.
Welcome to the Freak Show is the new Hinder album. You can go to their website. Is it hindermusic.com?
Hindermusic.com, yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, can you tweet that you were on Strip Club Radio for us so we get some love?
Absolutely.
Strip Club.
Yeah, you got it.
Strip Club Radio 1. All right, Cody. Well, thank you so much, man, for coming on, and good luck.
Thanks a lot, Cody.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it is a shame, I think, that we don't play much rock in the clubs anymore, because it used to be great. When you get a girl that knows how to dance to rock, I mean, a hot girl dancing to rock, coming out to something like this, you know, the lights going, strutting down the runway, grabs the pole, spins around, flips her hair back. If you ain't got... Man, I miss that.
It's got an attitude. It's got a sex appeal to it. You know what I mean? The stuff you play now, you're playing house music, and you can see it in a dance club. It's not as sexy. The girls don't look as sexy. The smoke and the strobes and the lights, and you know, it doesn't have the same effect on a guy with a girl staring at
you. You said it, the attitude. Girls used to come out with some attitude, and especially with that rock. And I remember working at the Dollhouse in Pompano a long time ago. They had this long runway, and you'd play that, and those girls would come out in high heels, and they would strut with the hot dress on, and they'd look at you, and they'd have attitude. It was hot. Now they just want to hear hip-hop. I'm depressed. See you guys later.
So long.
Take care now.
Bye-bye then.
Bye.
Strip Club Radio with Tim Rhodes and Anthony Binger Vallejo is coming to a close. But don't worry, baby. We'll be back soon.
Oh, yay!
Oh, yeah.
Go to stripclubradioshow.com or search Strip Club Radio on iTunes.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.